God's good. Can we turn in our Bibles to Luke chapter 1, and we're going to talk about the Jesus, our day spring. This passage I want to put up here and just kind of hit this thing. I just feel like it's a word in season again for our church, a word in season from the Lord, and it's an area of truth that we just need to see. Right here. So we're going to start right off in verse 76. This is the prophecy of Zechariah, the father of John the Baptist, over John the Baptist. But this is just a portion of it over him. And it says, "You child will be called the prophet of the Most High." So this is John the Baptist, the prophecy of his dad over his son. "For you will go before the Lord to prepare his ways." What an honor that is. That's like God. It's like as a prophet, John the Baptist got to go before God himself to make the way ready for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. What an honor he had. Think about it. Think about it. To make the way straight for God himself to show up in Israel. He made the way for God himself. What an incredible honor. Yeah, he was the opening act, so to speak. I was like, dude, God himself. Preparing the way of the Lord. So this is powerful. He says to give knowledge of salvation to his people in the forgiveness of their sins because of the tender mercy of our God. Okay, now I want us to read this all together. This is the ESV. Whereby, everybody say it with me, ready? Whereby the sunrise shall visit us from on high. Now, if it was going to be the John Heiss version, I would capitalize sunrise. I would capitalize it. And you may have heard I think the King James has calls it the day spring. The day spring. The day spring is another way of saying what? Come on. Sunrise. Yes. But do you see here? To give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of the death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. Look at this. The sunrise gives light, right, to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death. So that means that when the sunrise happens, people come out of death. What do we call that? Resurrection. So when the sun rises, it's like resurrecting people from the dead and guiding our feet in the way of peace. Go back one verse, please. Sunrise, capital S. Jesus is our sunrise. Jesus, when Zechariah is prophesying this, he is calling the Messiah the sunrise. He's calling him by that name. Go back another couple. I want you to see this. So when you look at this verse, I don't want you to think like illustration. Oh, yeah, like when the light shines, it's like when God comes. No, he's calling him the sunrise, the day spring. And you, child, John the Baptist, here we are, and you, John the Baptist, will be called the prophet of the Most High, and you, John the Baptist, will go before the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation to his people and the forgiveness of sins, because of the tender mercy of God, whereby Jesus, the sunrise, shall visit us from on high. Didn't Jesus come on high to visit us? Didn't he come from heaven? You came from heaven to earth to show the way? He came from heaven. The sunrise came down from heaven to give what? to give those who sit in darkness and the shadow of death resurrection, to guide our feet in the way of peace, to teach us how to live a godly life. Only the resurrected people of God can live a godly life. Can somebody say amen? I'm going to let you guys know, I'm preaching today, so you need to help me. I'm preaching today. Only a resurrected people can walk in victory and peace. Only a resurrected people. If you haven't died and been born again and resurrected in Jesus, you cannot fulfill the will of God in your life. It's impossible. You got to die and be born again to be able to even see the kingdom of God. You're going to see the gateway. You can't even see it. John was told this to Nicodemus, except the man be born again, you can't even see the kingdom, much less get in the kingdom. But I want you to know that when I was born again and I was resurrected in my spirit and my heart, my eyes were open to see the kingdom. Blessed are those that can, theirs is the kingdom of heaven. We need to see the kingdom so that we can go in the kingdom. And the only people that are going in the kingdom of God are the resurrected sons and daughters of God. That's the only ones going in. I got no news for you. No skeleton bones are walking in the gates of glory. No skeleton, no dead bodies are going in. Every one of them is going to have flesh put on them. Praise God. Come on, I'm getting a little bit glory, something like that. But I want you to know there's a whole lot of bones that are going to have flesh put on them someday. Come on, think about it. There's going to be a whole lot of bones that are get some flesh put on them. And there's a whole lot of bones that are going to have the breath of resurrection life in them. They're going to make those skeleton bones dance for Jesus. Because they said, I got myself a new body on these bones. Praise God. And it's never going to grow old. It's never going to go bad. It's never going to get sick. It's it. It's done. We're done with all this bad stuff in the world. Praise God. Come on. We got to dance those skeleton bones. Praise the Lord. Amen. I'm going to be preaching. I'm sorry. I will have to start saying amen walls, right, Barry Hussey? Come on. Jesus is the sunrise. And without the sunrise, we won't rise. We won't rise again. We won't have resurrection life. Matthew, now we're going to go to Matthew chapter 2. And we're going to take this passage, Matthew 2, 1 through 12. And we are going to talk about the star. The star that led the wise men to Jesus. Now, there was Jesus born in Bethlehem in the days of Herod the king, and wise men from the east came to Jerusalem. The wise men were not Jewish people. They were not Israelis. They did not belong to any of the 12 tribes. They were from the east. They were outside the boundaries of Israel. They came to Jerusalem saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews?" Born king of the Jews. Now, I think it's really interesting because they came to Herod the what? The king. They came to Herod the king, and he knew that he was not born the king of the Jews. Herod knew that. And so these dignitaries come from the east, which is somewhere towards Persia, Iran, what we know today as Iran, Babel, way the east of where we are in Jerusalem. They came to Herod and they say, "Where is the king? And this king has been born king of the Jews. We know he's here. We know he's here. Why? His star has appeared. Now, what did that mean to a Jewish person of that day? I want to tell you the truth, guys. Everybody look at me. What it meant to them is not what it means to you. What it meant to them is not what we think it meant, because we are American. And we live in 2020. And guess what? They ain't Americans. And they don't live in 2020. They lived in the BC time. At this point, we think it's 3 BC. And if you said that a star appeared, it would tell you something then that it doesn't tell us today. When we see a star, the first thing we're going to think of is get the telescope out and figure out which planet or which star, which meteor is there. We're automatically thinking it's a thing out there in the solar system. Well, how many of you know that Copernicus came a whole lot later? Come on now, you learned this in elementary science. You know, all these guys came later. I was into astronomy. I had a telescope when I was growing up. I was into all that stuff. I thought it was cool. But when these wise men came, they interpreted the star differently than we do. They weren't thinking science class. They were thinking church. And when that star appeared, it was God himself appearing into heaven. When they saw a star, they said, "That's a divine being." When they said that his star appeared, what was their response to that star? "We want to worship." Any of you like to go out and lay down before the moon and worship? Anybody here get into that? We don't think that way as Americans. We don't associate planets and stars as gods. We don't do it. Totally out of our brain. But I want you to know something. When they saw that star, they said, "God is there. Where is he? His star has shown up, and we want to worship him." And they came to that location. That star told them the general location of where, and then the scripture told him where. So they looked in the Word of God to tell them where God was. How do you find God? You see a star, something happens, and the presence of God hits you, but you never can really locate him unless you read the scripture. You got to read the Word to find the child. And their whole purpose was to find the child in order to worship. You don't find something that you worship unless it's God. Can you believe that? I mean, can you really believe that? It was an infant baby. He wasn't doing anything that would make you think he was God. He was doing baby stuff. Now, you've heard about the wise men. Have you heard about the wise women who visited Mary? The wise men brought gold, frankincense, and myrrh. The wise women brought diapers, you know, baby wipes, and coffee. They were smart. They were thinking of Mary. But the wise men were thinking of the baby, because they wanted to worship. That's all they wanted to do. That's all. It says, "We want to come to see the child because we want to worship him." Him. It's right there in the Word. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. When you see God manifest in the heavenly realms, right? When you see it, you're going to be happy because you see God. You see Him working. You see something happening. And then it says, going to the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they fell down and worshiped Him. They worshiped Him. They didn't need anybody, Steve, to tell them what to do. Just tell me where this child is, and I know what to do. I know what to do. When you meet Jesus and see Him in His glory, you don't have to think about what to do, do you? You just do it. You just want to worship Him because that's the only thing you can do. And that's the only thing you want to do. And then, after they worshiped, they opened their treasures. They gave Him gifts. They use the word offer, which I think is great. They put their offering in the plate. How about that? First offering for Jesus in the house where Jesus is there. First offering of the wise men. And then it says they gave what? Gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And then, in being warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed to their own country by another way. Now, did I tell you that Herod said, I want to worship Him too? Herod said that. Why? Because his Middle Eastern Jewish brain in 3 BC said that when a star shows up over a child, that is a god. And I have to worship. And even though I'm a king, I have to worship that king. Because he was born king. He wasn't king through intrigue. When they went into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother. I want you to imagine with me right now that that is a picture of the church. That God Himself said that my house, the most important thing that you will ever find in any church is Jesus. We want this church, this house. This is a house, by the way. You're in the ballroom of the house. It's attached to the big house over there. And we want you to, more than anything, you got to meet Jesus. This is where you're going to meet Him here. That's what we want here. Now, you can meet Jesus other houses. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that. But I want you to see the picture. That God wants people to meet Jesus. That's why we're here. So that they meet Him. And this house is the house of God. And it's not necessarily stuck at a particular location. When Jesus was talking to the woman at Samaria, He said to her what? He says, there's coming a day when you're not going to worship God in Jerusalem or in Samaria. He says, for those who worship the Father will worship Him in spirit and in truth. None of those places will be the place. Because if the Spirit of the Lord is here, there's freedom. There's worship. There's Jesus. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, and where the truth of the Word of God is preached, there's Jesus. You will find the baby right there. Amen. Come on, somebody say amen, walls. They fell down and worshiped Him. Worship. The attitude of worship is a falling down kind of thing. What is that like? When you come into a situation and you fall down and you're unable to stand, there are times when I have been unable to stand in God's presence. If I wanted to, I couldn't stand. But they fell down. They fell down because they were humbled, and they humbled themselves in the sight of the Lord. They could not stand. Now, in some situations, you stand to give honor to somebody. Yes, that is true. But when you're in the presence of the Almighty King, there is a humbling of yourself in worship where you just fall apart and you don't even get up. You stand, you get down, and then it says you worship Him. So our worship is before the Lord. And then once they fell down to worship, then they opened their treasures. Giving flows from worship. You have treasures. Worship comes when you come in the presence of the King. He is born King. And when you get in the house of God, you humble yourself, you worship Him, and then you start opening up your treasures. Sam opened up a treasure today. You opened up a treasure today just by worshiping, by hugging her. You opened up a treasure. What did you do? You were giving what was inside of you, which is valuable to you, which means something to you, which has worth. Every person who worships God is a wise man. You are. If you seek the Lord and God brings you to His presence and you fall down and worship, you are a wise person and you've got something to give Him. That's really, really important for y'all to know this, that you may say, well, I got nothing to give the Lord. Oh, you just repent right now, that lie. You've got something to give Him. They gave out of their gold, they gave the frankincense and myrrh. Quickly, gold, the most valuable commodity that we know today, because gold is extremely malleable. It can be shaped into just about anything. Now, how do you know that Jesus can use you? Because He can mold you into what He wants you to be, not what you want to be. I don't want to be a hard, old, brittle piece of something. But gold can be molded. Did you know that gold is one of the finest conductors of electricity there is known to man? If we use gold for wire, it would be awesome. Because there's something called resistance. And the resistance of copper, compared to the resistance of gold, gold has way less resistance to power than copper does. And when you do wiring, you want wire, good wire, that has very low resistance. Because that means it can go a long way. Now, I'm being a very geeky electrical kind of illustration guy. My dad was an electrical engineer, so please forgive me. But resistance, this works. Because if you've got resistance in you, how can you carry God's power? And the more pure the metal is, the less resistance. So very pure gold has less resistance than gold mixed with other stuff. Like this ring is 10 carat, whatever it is. 10 carat means it's got more resistance than 14 carat. And 24 carat has even less resistance than, you see what I'm saying? Because it has more purity. There's more of gold in it. This is awesome. How many of you want to have pure gold that you can give to Jesus? Come on, I want to give him something that he can mold and make into his power, his image. He could use, I want something that can carry some electricity of God, the power of God. Someone said, hey, if we discovered this meteor, this asteroid, it's like all this gold in it, and we had all this gold. Well, all you do is just start wiring your house with gold wire instead of copper wire. Hey, if you can do it, do it. You'll have much better electricity. What my tech, you know, anyway, I can go, that's a rabbit trail. Kill the bunny. All right, we're moving on. Wise people have treasure. Gold is the most precious. It's the best conductor. And frankincense and myrrh. I want to talk about those two things real quick. Both frankincense and myrrh are produced by wounding a tree. You wound the tree, resin comes out, it forms something very useful. Josh, this, you got to be preaching this, bro. This is your kind of thing. Talking about gold and resin and trees. It's not the sap of the tree. And you know amber? Y'all seen amber? Amber is, what is it, Josh? It's resin. Yeah. It's beautiful. I've been to Poland. When I went to Poland, that's one of their most beautiful things they love in Poland is resin. Amber. They love amber in Poland. Some of the Baltic Sea countries, too. I bet you Birgit would say the same thing in Estonia. It's beautiful. And frankincense and myrrh are produced by resin, and you have to wound a tree. Well, which tree was wounded? Isaiah 53. He was wounded for our transgressions. He died on the tree so that we could be healed. By his stripes, we've been healed. So when you give the frankincense and myrrh, you know, frankincense was really high quality perfume. It was a sweet fragrance. And sometimes we get wounded along the way in serving the Lord. And God knows how to take the resin from that wound, just like he took the wound of Jesus and brought healing to us. He'll take the stuff that we go through in life and make it something sweet that will bring healing to other people. Do you know what happens? I don't know why this is, and I don't want to complain, but it's like the tough stuff I go through that helps other people seems to be more than all my good, fun stuff that I've done in my life. It's when I go through some really hard, then I have more ability to comfort somebody than when I've just like had nothing go wrong with me. You develop this beautiful, valuable thing because of watching God carry you through the hard stuff. Because you say, hey, God's been faithful to me. He'll be faithful to you. God healed my wounds. He'll heal yours. We've seen it. We've participated in it. And there's something about compassion that comes up in us. When we see other people going through stuff, this compassion comes on us. Do you know that Jesus refused to take painkiller? Someone offered him wine mixed with myrrh. Myrrh was an analgesic, which is a painkiller. He refused the painkiller at the cross. He said, I want all the pain. Why? He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. Stripes that were laid upon him by brought us healing. So he didn't want to hold back the pain because he knew it was going to bring healing to somebody. Someone was going to get healed. Can you imagine that? Maybe Jesus himself. When he was getting beat by the cat of nine tails, he started naming names of people he knew were getting healed by each stripe that hit his back. Come on, I believe he believed the Lord. You think that Jesus didn't know that God wasn't going to bring healing through him? Jesus knew it. Jesus knew it. He told Pilate, he said, you can't do anything to me except it be given to you from heaven. He wasn't bossed around by anybody. He was the King of Kings. The Apostle Peter preached, he said, it was impossible for death to hold Jesus in the grave. It was impossible. It wasn't like Jesus was sneaky and slipped the keys off the devil. Come on. He didn't have to be a tricky guy. He didn't have to come up with some plan. It was impossible for the devil to hold him in the Hades. Impossible. That's the only impossible that God likes to deal with, right? The impossibility that death is not going to hold me back from resurrection. I'll go with that kind of impossibility. How about you? Nothing is impossible with God. Right? All things are possible. Except death can't hold me back. No, it's not going to hold me back. That's the attitude that Jesus had. And guess what? He's inside of us. Death ain't going to hold me back. It's impossible for death to hold me down. Glory to God. There ain't no grave. Praise God. And I'm going to finish with this last little encouragement. These wise men were told, don't go back the way you came. That when you come to Jesus and you lay your life down and worship to him and you give to him out of your treasury, you ain't going back to the king of this world. Herod represented the king of this world. And you're not going back that way. It says they went back another way. They went back another way. They went back to their own country, totally changed. So they went back to the same place, a different person. When I was saved, I went home back to my house on 21 Hope Drive. I went back to the same place, but the different John went back. It wasn't the same John. And I was no longer living under Herod. I was living under the one who was born king of Israel. I'm sorry, I got another king in my life. And it ain't you, Herod. It ain't you. I'm not living under that kingdom. My kingdom is not of this world. My kingdom is not of this world. My kingdom is not of this territory. It's not of this place. My kingdom, I serve another king. And he was born king. He was that way. He was the Son of God. He was the sunrise in my life. He is the sunrise. And when he came to light, all those who sleep in the dust of the earth will awake. Because it's time to get up. How do you know it's time to get up? Sun's up. How do you know it's time to get resurrected? How do you know when it's time to get up? Resurrection people, the sun is up. Get up. Get up. Get up out of that death. Get up out of that sleeper. Sleeper awake. Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in their heavenly Father's realm. Who now is also sunrise people, day spring people. We are the day spring people. We are the sunrise people.